you know, how you could share the gospel with them. And we were facing nearly every day some miracle. One of the biggest ones was that one day in the evening service, usually nobody was ever injured physically from the arms. But that evening, the family went out of the church, and soon after, maybe a couple hundred feet away, the aluminum grenade fell. And it injured the little girl. From the back head to the forehead came a little aluminum shrapnel, destroying her brain. Immediately, they took her by helicopter to the town split. And immediately, the doctor said, she will die very soon. So it's just a question of hours. Well, the church started praying every single day at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. And we would pray for hour and a half, however we felt, you know. So after a week, she was standing up in the hospital. Well, then the doctor said she will be like a plant, plugged all the time on the machines because she is incapable to live without that, without any support. Well, 2 weeks after that, what they said, she was jumping in the church and singing, you know. To their again great surprise, maybe they said again that they made the wrong diagnosis, but it was so obvious that she had a hole in the brain. And she lives up today, probably in Australia, now grown up lady, because they moved after some time. Many of our people after the war started moving out, so we would lose between 30 and 60 people each year just moving for a better life. We have sent many missionaries also to the United States from Bosnia-Herzegovina, not by my will, but because they went and they are serving God in many countries. But the verse which really brought me to Bosnia-Herzegovina is from the John chapter 12, verse 20, which really confirmed that it's from God for me to move to Bosnia-Herzegovina, because I needed something really strong to speak to my life, that I'll be confident of leaving Zagreb, being a city boy. And then here it says in John 12, 20, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And then this is a surprising thing, what Jesus says. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. I know some of the people here are raising seeds, so they know probably very good about this story, that if you put on a shelf a seed, it's not going to do any good. If you put it to the ground, it will die, but will bring forth the fruit or bring many more seeds. And that's many times in our lives, you know. We can sit and stand or be in our very comfort zone. As I was thinking in Zagreb, I had a very nice, vibrant church, you know. Everything was working well. So usually we think, don't mess up with anything because it can get worse. But that's exactly what God wanted of me, you know, to move to some zone or some area where I will not feel comfortable, where I will really depend every single day. In most of that time, same as Sarajevo and many other towns in Bosnia-Herzegovina, it's very unpredictable. Is army going to move more in or more out? Will you be safe? Maybe in the morning when you wake up, it will be completely different army, different group of the people that you think they will be at that day. And so many people are really depending from minute to God, because there is nothing else. And that's the reason our churches were combined of all three national groups, Serbs, Croats, and Muslims. Many Muslims came to the Lord, either by hearing or having a vision of Jesus, or many of them heard. When you go to that church, they are not going to ethnically cleanse you out from your home, so you'll be safe. So that's how many people came into the church, being Muslims. But at the end, hearing all the time the word of God, they gave their lives, started being followers. And not just being followers, they started sharing with other Muslims. So that's how the church was growing in the beginning. So we had so many different testimonies of the people and miracles happening in their lives. Like one lady, her child was, it was a daughter, 9 years old, and she was killed by a grenade when she was in a shelter. And she had nightmares for next 4 years. She would go to the Muslim priest, Orthodox priest, Roman Catholic priest, and everybody would pray, and nothing was happening. She would have constantly nightmares every single night. So once she dropped, by the way, somebody told her, and there were just a couple ladies in the church. And she said, well, I'm having this problem. And I went everywhere I could. Even doctors couldn't help me. I'm taking medication. It's not helping me. It's just making me sleepy and so. So finally, a couple of our ladies prayed for her. And from then on, you know what? She never had the nightmares anymore. We have an awesome God, a great God that really does the changes of our lives. So here Jesus says, if the kernel of wheat doesn't fall in the ground, now that speaks to our lives. If we don't die to ourselves, we will stay only one single seed, which doesn't bring the fruit forth. But Jesus continues, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If we live in this our area where we are living, just for this life, we can be very disappointed. We can have all the goods and gadgets and helps in the life and still be very, very unsatisfied. Till we don't understand that we are just on a journey on this earth, living for something bigger, for a cause of God and really glorifying Him and spreading His name till the ends of the earth. So I'm very thankful for CMA. You are having, I would say, the best, besides the OM, also Operation Mobilization, the best missionaries in the country. So thank you very much for your support to the missionaries in Bosnia-Herzegovina and in other countries, you know. It's so many times it means, you know, having a good people who can encourage you, support you, many times also challenge you, you know. And so those people are given up on the life in the United States and went to somewhere which is probably not so good. When I say that, I know in the beginning of the, when we were my wife, and then at the end of the first year, we were supposed to go on in a harbor in Croatia to pick up one container with the goods. And they were celebrating Christmas time. So when we moved to that town, which is called Rijeka, we saw thousands and thousands of bulbs, you know, celebrating Christmas. And we were in a complete shock. Because we were living without electricity all the time, you know. Like 7 months, we were without electricity, without the water, without elevator. We were living on 11th floor. And then you have a cultural shock, you know. Then we came to a shop, and they have like 20 different grains or some cereals or, you know. So we say, why they need 20 different ones, you know. We don't have even one, you know. Well, of course, we would go somewhere and buy it, you know, outside of the town. But we were going through many, many challenges. But, you know, as really God wants a purpose in our life, He's moving us through a process, you know, many times. And many times we don't understand why things are happening in our life. A great story for that is Joseph, you know, when he was sold by his brothers into Egypt. And Joseph could complain all the time, you know, it's not fair. God, why you allowed this, you know, as many times we do, you know. But he probably in the beginning didn't understand the process, you know. And then he was falsely accused by the Potiphar's wife, you know. And then he was in a prison. And then he interpreted this, the dreams. So he said to the baker, when you get back, please tell to the Pharaoh that I'm unjustly here in the prison. So what do you think would happen if really he was released at that time? Probably he would go back, you know, to his land and report what? Look, Father, your sons have sold me, my brothers, so really punish them. When you look in a complete that story, God was waiting for the right time that his heart was okay. So when the day came, when Pharaoh had those dreams, couldn't interpret it. Well, the man came with the idea who heard the interpretation of his dream 2 years ago, because Joseph was about 13 years in prison, not a short time. You come in as a boy, age of 17, and getting up out of it when you are 30 years old. But he was ready to grasp on what God had for him. So even when his father died, his brothers came and threw themselves in front of Joseph. And what did they say? We'll be your slaves, because they know Joseph has a power in that country. Just do this, and they are gone. They will be dead. But because the process was finished in Joseph's life, what did he say? Whatever you intended for evil towards me, God turned it for good to save a great nation. So many times we are in the process as the people, you know. But sometimes we cannot wait. We would like everything instant. We have everything instant today. Coffee, whatever you want, it's instant. You want bread, you just mix something, put it, and it's finished in a couple minutes. You know, you're not making from scratch. But many times the problem is not in God. It's problem in us, because we are not allowing process to go further and to finish in us. Many times the excuse is age, you know, education or so. Is anybody thinking that he is too old to serve God? I'm glad there is no one. Because I read a couple years ago that there is a man in Phoenix, I think he's 76, and he spends every day, I don't know, quite many hours in hospitals in Phoenix, Arizona. And you know how many he brings people to the Lord in a year? What do you think? No one wants to guess. About 4,000 people. That's more than 10 people a day. So how many churches do you know that grow 4,000 people in a year? Probably not many. And when you have somebody who is 76 bringing so many people to the Lord, and probably he thought in the beginning, well, maybe I'm old, but God still can use me, you know. So he started doing what he thought God was leading him to. And so he's very successful. So I hope it will change in some hearts of you, that you will not just be sitting watching TV and waiting one day to go to be with the Lord, but really put yourself in a function. Because you have mission field, great mission field here. As I hear, this is not it's not Bible Belt, let's say in that way. So it's your duty to make it Bible Belt. It's up to you. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's what for some time God have put in my heart. As really, I was battling with some pastors in Bosnia-Herzegovina, because I was saying, well, we can do something that the climate will be changed, because the situation is not the greatest. One thing is churches are declined or they are stagnant. And then many times we are trying to put a blame on somebody else, you know. We are never guilty, is that right? You know, so some pastors would say, well, it's all up to God. If he is not giving, we will pray, you know, we will try to water, but God is the one who is giving to grow. You know, they take the Bible verse. But I believe if we really fervently, I call it the prayer of the, I'm missing a word now, not effective, when you're desperate prayer, thank you. When you're desperate for something, you know, there are different ways of praying, you know. But when you hear that probably you have a leukemia or cancer, I tell you that your prayer life will be very stretched, you know. My wife had a cancer a couple of years ago. And immediately we are so closer to God, you know. All our agenda is gone. We are not extremely busy anymore that we have no time to pray. At once the prayer becomes the focus, especially if doctors say, we are sorry, there is no hope for you. Now, I'm thankful to God for my wife, because now when the doctor who operated her, he says, this is so unusual. All your tests are negative, which is positive, you know. He said, we were expecting that it will return back. So my wife comes to me and she says, probably they didn't tell me the whole truth. I said, maybe it was the worst cancer. But still, it's a great way to thank God and really glorify him every single day for one more day of the life here for his purpose, you know. So when you become desperate about God, things start changing, you know, because there are different levels of the prayer. It's not that something is better or but you are closer to God, and then you really say, God, you are only my chance. I have no other agenda. I'm not busy. You have my full attention. And that's what many times God wants, our full attention. So here in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, or in another translation would be, when my people, who are called by my name. So if you are called by the name of God, you accepted Jesus as your Lord, that he is the one that you are asking for advice, and you are making decisions according to his will. If you did still not receive Jesus, then it's time to do it, you know. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's one of the things which is not easy for us, you know. Sometimes we say we are really humble, or we are humbled or so. But I was humbled quite many times. My first humbling was when I saw my life in front of me going. I was devastated because what picture I had about my life and how Jesus saw my life, it was completely opposite, you know. I needed a change in my life. Without that, I wouldn't be alive. They were directly trying to shoot me 3 times in Mostar to remove me. 3 months ago, I was in a restaurant, and I had a preacher from the outside, and so we brought him for a lunch and so. So when I was leaving out, there was a group of men. Some of them I knew, so I came to greet them after all everybody left. But in a corner was a man who tried to kill Nicola, who started the church, and myself many years ago. And he was there, and he said, "You're still alive?" I said, "Yeah, I'm still alive. I'm serving God." And so he says, "Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, we are going to finish with you very soon." I said, "If God wants, you will. If he doesn't, I'll be alive. We will finish you very soon." I said, "Okay, you know." It's a threat, you know. If I wouldn't be there without God, probably I'll run away. But I had so many times people come with the hand grenade, you know, pull the trigger. They were in a church because they hated our church, because there were 3 national groups together, Muslims, Serbs, and Croats. So they were saying, "We are building new Yugoslavia." And they would pull out the pin and then sit in and say, "Now we are going to kill you." And Nicola would usually make a joke, you know, even in such a situation. He would say, "Well, we know where we go. We go to heaven. You'll go to hell. Just go." So man is looking. He starts smoking cigarette. I would say, "It's not allowed to smoke here." He says, "I'll smoke because I want so." So after some time, we just continue our conversation, or we pray, and he puts the pin and just leaves out, you know. Nobody ever killed us, you know. They could, but they didn't, you know. It's all in God's hands when we are desperate for him and thanking every single day for our life. So here it's conditional. When my people humble themselves and pray. And I believe it's a prayer of desperation. God, either you show up and you change us or we will die. There is no reason for us to live. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, many times we think that we live very nice life, you know. King David's thought also. So you have it twice in the Psalms where he says, "God, search my heart, that I may be not living in a completely wrong way. I tried before to prove that I'm good, but then you showed that I was completely wrong." David have sent a man to be killed. He have done adultery. And then a prophet comes and tells him a story about somebody having only 1 sheep. Even that person had so many sheep in his yard and came for this 1 single sheep. So David was furious, and he said, "That man has to pay 4 times. And it was exactly him. That many times we can be as David, you know, judging others, not judging ourselves, and not letting God search our heart to see where really we are. Are we really living? Are we ready to die for this town, Olympia? Are we ready to give your life, whatever it takes, that your mission of the life will be really reaching the people for him?" Maybe you can find all excuses, but it's not enough, because it says here conditionally, "When my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, start seeking my face, confessing our sins, giving up on our wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I don't know how about you and how is the life here. Maybe you have money. We have corruption. There is 87% of corrupted government. Unemployment is between 50 and 75%. So maybe you, that's a long story. I'm not going how people live, you know, about that. But if God doesn't show up, country will be completely devastated. We have no idea how much we took loans from outside of the money just to keep country going on and how much European Union is investing. But that's not my business. I want to see Bosnia-Herzegovina healed by God, changed. I don't know, did anyone of you saw the maybe DVDs from Transformation by George Otis Jr., how people started praying in different parts of the world. But especially what's significant to me, one small town in South America. It's a town of 20,000, and they were worshiping a certain idol. All the jails were full. Four towns away from that were all full with the people from that town because they were alcoholics, they were on drugs, they were violent to their families, and nothing was changing. Till a couple pastors came together and started praying. Then more of them came. Then more people came. And at once something started happening. Till the whole process was finished. It took 20 years. You know, we like instant. I would like that Bosnia-Herzegovina is changed in 3 days. But you know, when you're doing a lifestyle in a wicked way, we had nearly 500 years of Turkish Ottoman Empire. In our country, 52% people are Muslims. How they are going to be reached? I think only with divine touch of God of our land. They will come to revelation that Jesus is the only way. I don't see any other way. Humanitarian aid is not going to help them. Money is not going to help them. You know, better life is not going to help them. It's not. There is only one way. But the first one, the church will come on their knees and pastors say, God, we know that you are almighty and that we are wicked people. Please. As one man of the Welsh revival, he was called Rhys Howells. Maybe you heard about him. But he prayed one prayer. He said, God, please give me desire to desire you more. You know, sometimes you know you have to do something. Maybe you have no desire of reading Bible, of praying or so, but you know you should. So we should come to God and pray. God, please give me desire to desire change in Olympia, change in Washington, change in the United States. Or maybe you still think that you are a great Christian country. I don't know. But I tell you, I know some countries in Europe. One is Romania. Churches have their growth 47%. You don't have it in States. There is Ukraine. There is China. There is Korea. In all these countries, quite some of them I was. And really, praying there is so easy. I was in Korea for 9 days in 95. Every single night I couldn't sleep. I would pray for 2 hours and thoughts were just coming to my mind. Pray for the pastors in Mongolia. I have no idea of anyone in Mongolia, you know. And I would pray for 2 hours from midnight till 2 o'clock. I was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I thought first night I'll be that person in the morning, you know, sleepy. I was completely fresh. Every single night was happening the same thing. I came back to Bosnia-Herzegovina, nothing. So when you speak with the people there and they say, we pay the price. We prayed for so many years. There was a chaplain from the American army in Germany and he had all written messages, you know. I hope your pastor and I, we don't have written messages. I prepare every single one for each time I preach. But he had 52 sermons for a year and he would repeat them. So he said, he was serving to American army and he said in 1 year, between 1, 3, or 4 persons would come to the Lord in the army. He came to Korea to serve again to an American army. You know how many? 30 to 40 in a month. He was completely shocked. So he meets this pastor, Yonggi Cho, there, and he says, Pastor, why is this happening here? I'm preaching the same thing in Germany, and I'm preaching here the same message. And there, maybe four people in a year, here 30 to 40 in a month. And then he says, you know, Koreans, oh, you brother, you don't know. You are harvesting what the Korean people were praying for many years. He says, in Germany, Christians are sitting and watching TV. And he says, here Christians are going to the mountain and they pray all night long. They just take some water with them. That's you are reaping what they were sowing, actually. And that's the difference. And I believe you can do it. I'm believing it for Bosnia-Herzegovina, that God can come and heal the land, but it's conditional. I believe God loves much more Olympia than you do and I do, Bosnia-Herzegovina. But if he puts it on our heart, the change is possible. It's not about the number of the people in the church. It's about changing the community. When the bars will be closed, when the jails will be empty, when the government will not be corrupted, when the kingdom of God will be welcomed here, the things will be way, way different, I tell you. There was a man, I'm not sure have you ever heard for him, living in England, William Wilberforce. Anyone heard for him? So I see quite many of you. Why there is no hatred between races in UK? You know why? Because of this man. He prayed his whole life that the slavery will be stopped, trafficking and selling people. At the end of his life, he heard a good message. Slavery was stopped in the UK. One man changed the history for quite many people, you know. So is it worth of praying and really coming up to God? I say yes, it is. It's worth of really denying everything pleasures of this life and really living for God. Because we'll live maybe 70, 80. I know you live longer here than we do in Bosnia-Herzegovina. You know, some people 90, 95, 100, 115. But at the end, you die. You go to the grave. You are buried. Your body is falling apart. But the question is, when we get up to heaven and stand in front of Jesus, will he be pleased with us, or he will be ashamed of us, that we'll just barely make it in and say, okay, come in, you know, I know you were not listening to my voice, you know, or he will be saying, go, you're the man that we want here. There was a story not long time ago, a missionary came from Africa to United States, and he was very disappointed why nobody greeted him when he arrived. Nobody at the airport waited for him. He was like 40, 50 years living in Africa. And then he started saying to God, God, this is really not fair. President of this country was recently in Africa, and thousands of people of Africa from that country came to greet him and so. And he said, I served you so many years, and nobody was waiting for me when I came to the United States. And then God said to him, do you think you came home? No, you didn't. When you will come home, millions of angels will wait for you and greet you and give you honor from all hard work which you have done. So the real reward is up there in heaven. I'm finishing. Please pray for us, for Bosnia-Herzegovina. Unity among the churches and leadership of all denominations to see bigger God's picture for Bosnia-Herzegovina as God sees it. Encouragement of the pastors and leaders. Many of them say they are tired, disappointed, because they don't see results, you know. Pray for a town where I'm serving, that there'll be, that will be church of prayer, really, as the greenhouse, you know. From greenhouse, many times you take small plants and you plant them somewhere else. For our church space, we bought the property 14 years ago, and still government is not giving us permission to build. And that will be financial stable, as for us, but that we can send also missionaries outside of our town. So please, first of all, pray for us. Don't forget me. I don't know, did you like or not like message? But please pray for us. I don't care. Pray for us, please, that the Bosnia-Herzegovina will be changed. that God will touch the land and switch it, really, that we can become a fertile soil for His word, for His work, and that will be like a greenhouse sending to other countries. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Please stand.